Hebrews 11. I want to continue on Joseph tonight. I only got halfway through the story this morning. So tonight we're going to look at Joseph again. We're going to go from Hebrews 11, 22 and 23, or 21 and 22, back to Genesis. And we'll pick up somewhat where we left off this morning. I don't have any special, I've got a couple outlines written in my Bible, but we're just kind of going through things. And I love the story of Joseph. I've had many of you come up to me today and say, boy, I love that story of Joseph. It's a great story. And it is. It's an amazing story. A man of faith in the face of adversity is what you can really see with Joseph. But I mentioned this morning. We didn't look at the verses, but I just mentioned this morning that in Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter of the Bible, it says in verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. That's all it says about Joseph. Nothing else. But God saw fit to put that there in the hall of faith about this great man of Joseph. It talks about Joseph mentioned just before he died to make sure that his bones were not left in Egypt. And eventually they did. 430 years later, they carried his bones out of Egypt. I believe it was when Moses took all of the children of Israel out of Egypt. So go over to Genesis chapter 42. Genesis 42. Joseph is going to play a little game with his brothers. Now, some people might look at that and say that Joseph was being cruel to his brothers, that he was getting back at his brothers for what they did to him. He was not. He was testing his brothers, is what he was doing when they come in front of him here. We're going to see that in this chapter. All of his brothers come down to buy food, buy corn, buy grain, and they come in front of Joseph. Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. So he plays along with this whole thing. He's speaking Egyptian here. So by an interpreter, he is speaking Egyptian, and somebody is interpreting to his brothers in Hebrew, even though Joseph obviously knew Hebrew. Eventually, he talks to his brothers, but here, he plays along. They don't know that it's Joseph yet. It's an amazing reunion that really has not even taken place yet. The true reunion we're going to look at tonight a little bit closer, when Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. It's a real heart-wrenching story when Joseph does that. But in the meantime, Joseph, he's just going to test his brothers. I think what he wanted to do to see, he knew how he was treated several years prior. I think the way he talks about this, the way he demands that Benjamin be brought to Egypt, I think that he wanted to see, is his brothers still going to act the same way to Benjamin as he did to me? And so he's going to throw a little test out to him. I don't look at this as a sinful thing that Joseph did. Some people do. They think that Joseph was trying to get back at his brothers. I don't think so. He may have wanted to play a game a little bit with them, but he was really going to test them. And to his delight, and to the brothers' delight, they passed the test, because they weren't going to treat Benjamin the same way they treated Joseph. And chapter 42, it says, now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. Now, he was not sending Joseph because he was too young. I think, and I didn't do the math, I just wrote it down, but I think I did a quick math. I think Benjamin was 24 years old here. You agree? Anybody agree? You don't know? You don't care? All right. Maybe 24 years old here. I don't know. Around that age. So it wasn't, his father wasn't keeping him back because he was too young to go. He could have gone. Jacob did not want to lose his dear son Benjamin from Rachel, their mother, as he lost Joseph. So he's just keeping Benjamin back. He sends the other guys down, the 10 brothers. He wants them to go down, but he's not letting Benjamin go. So the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he, it was, that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan, to buy food." And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, "Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come." And they said unto him, "Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies." And he said unto them, "Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come." They said, "Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not." And Joseph said unto them, "That is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies." Now you can imagine how roughly, the Bible says he spoke to them roughly. He's accusing them of being spies. Joseph knew who they were, and he knew why they were there. But he said, "You're spies." And he's going to test them now. As he is going through this, in verse 15, "Hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. Ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother. And ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies." And he put them all together into ward 3 days. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We pray that you bless now the message, this Bible study. We pray that you'd help us to glean from it. Again, Lord, we thank you for the story, the life of Joseph. And he showed such tremendous faith when adversity came his way. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn from this. Help us, Lord, to live as Joseph lived. Help us, Lord, to just to build up our own faith. And Lord, we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to be in this book every day. We need to be building our faith constantly. And Lord, I just pray now that you bless us and meet with us here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And so Joseph is telling them here that you've got to prove to me that you're not spies. You've got to go back. One of you've got to go back, and you've got to bring your youngest brother here. So he puts him in prison for 3 days. How long did Joseph spend in prison? At least 13 years that I know of. He's only letting them sit there for three days. And so in verse 18, "And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God." Now that should have been a little clue to his brothers. I fear God. He's letting them know that he believes in the same God that they believe in. He said, "I fear God. If ye be one man, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and you shall not die." And they did so. They said one to another, "We are very guilty." Now they're talking amongst themselves here. Joseph is kind of standing off to the side. He understands everything they're saying. He says, "We're very guilty concerning our brother, and that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And so he sends them away, but when he came back, Simeon was there. Simeon was bound. Joseph took Simeon and bound him and kept him there. He let the others go. The other nine went. Simeon stays there in the prison house as they go back. Joseph commanded in verse 25 to fill their sacks with the corn and to restore every man's money. They had brought money to buy this corn. He puts the bags or has the bags and the money put back into their sacks of corn, and he sends them on their way. And so they go out a little ways, and they go to feed their donkeys, their asses, the food that they needed to feed them, and they, one of them opens up the sack and gives them provender of the inn, and when they were in the inn, and there's the money sitting in there. They just gave the money to Joseph for the food. They were buying the food, and the money is back in the sack. Now they're really scared. Now they don't know what's going on. They have the corn, they have the grain, but now the money is back in their sack. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them. And they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? They came unto Jacob, you know the story, they came unto Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, and told him all that took place. The man who is the Lord of the land, they're explaining him. They don't know who it is yet. They don't know it's Joseph. How he spake roughly to them, and they're accusing us, Dad, of us being spies in the country. And we tried to tell him, no, we're true men, we're not spies. And he said, we told him we're 12 brethren, sons of the father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother back with you. Of course, Jacob is all upset now. He's lost his son Joseph. Now they want to take Benjamin back, which he refuses at first. He says, there's no way. You're not taking my youngest son. You're not taking Benjamin back. Or taking him into Egypt. And now, Simeon is there. So now I've lost two sons, and you want to take a third son. And he couldn't do it. Verse 36, the end of verse 36, all these things are against me. Jacob thought that everything was against him. You ever feel like that sometimes? You feel like, everybody's against me? I've had people tell me that. It seems like everybody's against me. Everything is against me. Nothing is going right in my life. Well, what do you think is going on with Jacob right here? He feels the same way. He feels that there's nothing going right in his life. He's already lost one son. There's another son in prison in Egypt. And his third son will probably lose his life, Benjamin. And so he says, this is not going to take place. This is not a good day for me. Reuben, of course, says something really dumb. He says to his father in verse 37, slay my two sons if I don't bring Benjamin back. Now that never happened, but Reuben was very adamant about believing that he was going to be safe. In the next chapter, it's interesting, it goes from Reuben to Judah. Remember who Judah is? Jesus Christ came through the line of Judah. And so Judah makes a statement as they're discussing this. I mean, they're running out of food, they're running out of grain, they need more corn, or they're all going to die of hunger, die of the famine. And Judah says in verse 8, Judah said unto Israel his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. Look at verse 9. This is interesting. I will be surety for him. What does the word surety mean in the Bible? Responsible. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. You sign for a loan. You put your name on the loan. You are guaranteeing that you're going to pay that loan back, whether you like it or not. You're going to pay. It's a surety. It's a guarantee. It's a security for payment. Is what it is. Judah is saying, "Let me be that surety for Benjamin." That reminds me of somebody that came 2,000 years later, Jesus Christ became what? Our surety. He became our guarantee. He became our payment for all of our sins. Jesus came through the line of Judah. It's interesting that Judah in verse 9 is making that statement. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. Of course, finally, Jacob allows them to go with Benjamin, and they go. Jacob says, take double money. Take an extra sack of money and go down there and make sure that you pay them the first sack again and bring another sack of money for the food. There must have been some kind of an oversight or something. So they go back down into Egypt. And in verse 16, when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. The next few minutes that we see that takes place in this totally amazes his brothers. They have no idea what's going on. They are thinking the worst. They think that something is going to happen to them when they're invited to this ruler's house. Why would they be invited to the ruler's house? It must be because they didn't pay the previous money for the corn. It must be he's got something against us. Something bad is going to happen, they feel. I put a little note next to that, verse 16. Come and dine. Joseph said, come home with me and dine with me. Does that sound familiar? Didn't Jesus say that to the apostles? Come and dine. Come and let's have a meal together. After he rose from the dead, Jesus said. And they had an amazing meal on the edge of the Sea of Galilee one morning. They had fished all night, couldn't catch anything. Jesus said, cast your net on the right side, and they did, and it was an amazing catch. But Jesus already had fish on the fire and had their breakfast already prepared for them. And, of course, they came and dined with Jesus Christ. Verse 17, and the man did as Joseph bade. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house. The men were afraid, verse 18, because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time, are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they're talking to the steward, and they're just trying to get some answers. They don't know what's going on. And so they're talking to the steward about this whole thing, about the money, and look, we paid the money, and then all of a sudden when we're leaving, we find the money in our sacks again. Verse 22, and other money have we brought down in the hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. Verse 23, he said this, peace be to you. Fear not, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I like that little phrase. And then he said, I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto them. What's in your sacks? There's a commercial with Capital One. What's in your wallet, right? How about what's in your sacks? It says there that God, your Father, hath given you treasure in your sacks. Do you know how much treasure you have in your sacks? You ever think about how much treasure, really, spiritual treasure that you have? I'm not talking material things or finances. I'm not talking money. We all struggle sometimes with money issues and other things come up. But have you ever just thought about the treasures that you and I have as children of God? According to Ephesians, it tells us the riches that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. The riches. We are extremely rich people tonight. Children of God are very, very rich. Not materially. Not necessarily financially, even though I do believe that God does bless in those areas. But as I said, what's in your sacks tonight? Do you have anything in your sack that you can offer the Lord Jesus Christ? I see there in verse 23, how about the treasure of family? The treasure of family, in verse 23. He brought Simeon out unto them. They are reunited with their brother Simeon. I believe that these brothers learned how to love one another more after Joseph, after what they did with Joseph. They know what love is all about now. I believe with all my heart they are regretting. They probably regretted every day after what they did, for what they did to Joseph. They're bringing it up. God hasn't had to bring it up to them. They're bringing it up. That's because they regretted what they did to him. They knew that it was wrong. They knew that it was sin. And they even knew that God was against it. Because they have referred to that. They say that God is getting us for what we did. God is judging us for what we did. They knew that it was wrong, selling their brother into slavery. In verse 24, we have how about the treasure of forgiveness? We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, last couple of weeks. Verse 24, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender, food. That shows to me that's forgiveness when we see that. Jesus bent down and he washed the disciples' feet in John chapter 13. And he showed those disciples the amazing amount of forgiveness that he had toward them. He even washed Judas Iscariot's feet, the one that was going to betray him. He even washed Peter's feet, the one that was going to deny him three times. Do you know how much God has forgiven you and me? That is a treasure. I'm talking about treasures in your sacks. The treasure, number one, of family. Number two, the treasure of forgiveness. We have that. What a blessing that is. Look at verse 30. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. Why did Joseph weep so much when he saw his brother? I'll tell you why. He loved his brother. The treasure of love that we have. The treasure that God has shown to us, the love that we have from God Almighty. God loves us beyond what you can even think. He loved you and I so much that He died on a cross for our sins. That's a lot of love. As I said this morning, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The treasure of love. We understand what love is today, somewhat, based upon what Jesus did for us on the cross. I'll never, until I get to heaven, probably completely fathom the love that Jesus had. How can he love somebody like an Adolf Hitler, right? A Saddam Hussein, a Stalin, pick out any of the most wicked people that you can think of in the entire history of mankind. He loved them. Jesus loved Judas Iscariot. When Judas Iscariot approached Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane to betray him, Jesus called him his friend. 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 And the verse 31, the treasure of bread. Look at this. And he washed his face. And he went out, refrained himself, and said, set on bread. Let's have some bread. Let's break some bread together. They set on him for by himself. And for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians, which did eat with him, by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. How in the world did this stranger know we've got Reuben, and we've got them all lined up right down through to Benjamin, the youngest. I don't know how Joseph just told the guy, you know, put them here, 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 here. Maybe he had little name cards already set up for him. I don't know. But they were amazed that from the oldest to the youngest, they were seated that way. I like verse 34. And he took and sent messes. You know what messes are? You ever heard of... It's a portion of food. It's like a plate of food. That's what a mess is. When I was, you guys, in the armed forces, you probably had a place called mess hall. Do you go by mess hall in the armed force? Mess hall. I remember that, and boy, I never was in armed services, but I was in the Boy Scouts. And I remember going to mess hall and eating. Close enough, right? That's right. Close second, that's right. Learn how to build a campfire in the Boy Scouts. Earn little badges in the Boy Scouts. That's a different story. But he sent messes, portions of food unto them, or he sent messes of food, messes unto them before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. Instead of one steak, filet mignon, with bacon around it, covered with mushrooms, and a big baked potato over here, and salad over here, and some bread over here. Instead of one filet mignon, he got five filet mignons. Or legs of lamb, I don't know. I don't like legs of lamb, but I like filet mignon. Benjamin got five times so much as any of theirs. They drank, and they were merry with him. These guys are just enjoying. They had not had a meal like this in a long time. Did you remember there's been a famine for 2 years going on? You think they ate like this? They didn't eat like this for a long time. This was a good, I mean, they were enjoying themselves. And then we come to chapter 44. He commands the steward of the house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry and put every man's money in the sack's mouth. Put their money back in there. Did Joseph really need the money? No, he didn't need it. Did they need the money? Yeah, they could have used the money a lot more than Joseph could have used it. He sends them away. But before he does, well, let me read a little bit more. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, up, follow after the men, and whom thou dost overtake them. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing. So they ended up putting Joseph's cup, his silver cup that he drank out of, and whatever else he did with that, they ended up putting that in Benjamin's sack, along with the money and along with the corn. And Joseph is sending the steward out to go out there and get them. And, of course, the steward is going to overtake them. Here comes this whole group of men and soldiers out after them. And so they wonder what's going on, and they stop them, and they say, you know, you've stolen our Lord's silver cup. And they are flabbergasted. They says, there's no way that we would. Why would we have done that? We wouldn't have done that. Well, let's take a look at your... So he starts from the oldest, and they open up all the sacks, and they get down to Benjamin's sack, and they open up the sack, and guess what's in Benjamin's sack? The cop. He raised his hand. He was nice. I'm going to call on him. He raised his hand. I teach him that when I do Bible story over here every morning in school. Raise your hand if you want to say something, right? Right, Giggles? That's Giggles Gilmore over there. That's his name. Not really, but that's the name I give him. The cup was in Joseph's sack. There it was. And they rend their clothes. They ripped their clothes. They said, Benjamin, what in the world have you done? I didn't do anything. I didn't do... Can you imagine the conversation they had? The steward said, let's go. We're going back. I can't imagine what they were thinking all the way back, because now they're going back. They have to face Joseph again, and they have just stolen the silver cup. They know that that's it, that we're done for. We are going to probably spend the rest of our life in prison. Or we're going to be slaves, or they're going to kill us. Something bad is about ready to happen. They're thinking. But what is Joseph doing? He's just getting them back. Because he is going to reveal himself to his brothers, but he's got this amazing scheme to do it. And so back they go, with their heads hanging low, and they have no clue what's going to take place. And they get back to Joseph. In verse 16, and Judah said, What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves? Look what he says. God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. You know what took place right there in that verse? Humility. They were finally humbled to the point that now some great things are going to happen in their life. They had to be humbled. This humbled them. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. But you're going to leave he didn't say this yet, but you're going to leave Benjamin here. You can go. Judah came near. Remember Judah, what he said? Judah was surety for Benjamin. Came near unto him and said, Oh my Lord, please. I put please in there. But let my servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidest unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. Thou saidest unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then will we go down. For we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons. The one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if you take, and he's going down through and he's telling us, is Judah is telling the story about what Jacob is saying, and you can't take my other son. It's something bad is going to happen. And sure enough, they are thinking something bad is going to happen to Benjamin. Verse 33. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord. Let the lad go up with his brethren. What's Judah doing? Judah wants to take the place of Benjamin. Right? Now what he's doing? He said, let me stay here. You let my youngest brother, you let him go, but I will take the place of Benjamin. What did Jesus Christ do for us? He took our place on the cross. He took our place. Instead of us dying and having to go to hell, Jesus took our place on the cross and shed his blood for us. Judah is doing the same thing here. Again, that's the line that Jesus Christ came from. For how shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come upon my father? You think that Judah loved his father? Yeah, amen. I believe that these men now realize, and they're humbled, and they realize how much each one of them means to their father. Verse 45. Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. Now, let me say that. That is a loud cry. When you cry so loud that everybody around you can hear you crying. He is weeping. He's crying. And Joseph said unto his brethren three words. I am Joseph. He's speaking in Hebrew now. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They had no idea who he was. They had no idea. There's their brother standing in front of them. He says, I am Joseph. They sold him into slavery years ago. He says again in verse 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Remember when you did that, guys? But I'm here, I'm your brother. His presence is made known in verses 1 through 4 in chapter 45. Joseph had now been, I think, about 22 years in Egypt. And so his brothers didn't really recognize who he was. He's dressed in this Egyptian garb and they had no idea who he was. He spoke an Egyptian language. He looked different, obviously. Instead of 17 now, I think he's 39, so he looked completely different. They didn't know who he was, but he says, I'm Joseph. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to, what? Preserve life. Amen. Chapter 45 is an amazing chapter. I've outlined it. Number one, we see the presence is known. His presence is known, made known to his brethren. Number two, his preservation of life. Joseph had the ability to preserve life. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ has the ability to preserve life. He first of all gives us eternal life by saving our souls, but then secondly, He can provide us an abundant life when we just turn our lives over to Him and we allow the Lord to direct in our lives. We can have a life that is filled with joy and happiness because Jesus is our Lord and Savior. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And He hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all of his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. What is Joseph trying to do? He's trying to calm his brothers down. He's trying to say, listen, guys, I just want you to know that God was in this whole thing. It was the Lord that orchestrated this whole thing out. It was God that caused me to be where I am right now. I said this morning that if he had gotten out when the butler had gone back and immediately got him out, this would have never happened. We wouldn't have the rest of the story of Joseph here because it would have never happened. Many, many, many thousands of people would have lost their life because it was Joseph that literally was able to preserve life by what he did. He had the wisdom and the fortitude to know that they needed to take 20% of all of the grain prior to, during those first 7 years of plenty, they had to take 20% or a fifth of all of the grain that was harvested and put it away somewhere. Brendan was, he observed something that I never thought about. They had the ability, you don't normally keep grain for that long, I guess, but they had a way to dry that and keep it and preserve it for all that amount of time. That took a lot more wisdom than just gathering it up and throwing it in a bin somewhere. They were able to really, I mean, they knew what they were doing. But he was this preserver of life. The third thing we see is the providence of God. God worked this whole thing out. Remember, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Does God have a purpose for every one of us? Yes. Did God have a purpose for Joseph? Yes. Now maybe Joseph, now he looks back and he understands the whole thing, but while he was going through that whole ordeal, being thrown in a pit, being sold as a slave, going down to Egypt, with all of that thing that took place with Potiphar's wife, being thrown in prison for 13 years, having the butler ignore him and not say anything and staying there for another 2 years, Joseph probably didn't realize what was going on. But what did Joseph do? He always trusted God. Faith trusts God. How many times... Adults here, How many times have we gone through things in life and we didn't really understand what we were going through at the time, but then when we got through it and we go back and we look back, now I know why I went through that. So often we don't understand why we may be going through something. It can be revealed afterwards, and it certainly is revealed now. Joseph, the whole thing is just, it's an amazing story. The providence of God. He says, guys, don't feel too guilty. Don't feel too bad about this whole thing. Through all of this, God was preserving the Jews. These were Jewish people. These were Hebrews. God has always made sure that the Jews were preserved some way throughout all of life. They have been hated down through the years. They were hated in the 1930s when Hitler rose to power and wanted to eliminate every Jewish person in all of Europe. When Hitler was taking over France and Poland, and he was just pouring out his forces upon that land. You know what his goal really was? Yes, he wanted to be the Führer of the entire world. He wanted to be the ruler of all the world, but he really was trying to eliminate the Jewish people because they were God's chosen people. He hated the Jews with a passion. And he spread that hate to all of his soldiers and the brown shirts and all of the other ones. He spread that hate to them, and they were just out killing them. Jews would be pulled out of their business and beaten and literally killed. Little children were killed because they were of Jewish families. Businesses were burned and people were taken out of their homes and destroyed in France and other places during that time period. But God still preserved them. God has always preserved His people. There are Jewish people today preserved because God always is looking out for them. And God is looking out for them here in this story. Then Joseph says this, "Haste ye," in verse 9, "and go up to my father and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty." We see in verses 10 through 13 the provisions made by Joseph for his family, for his father, for all of his family, for the households. Verse 12, "And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you." Guys, it's me. I'm Joseph. I'm telling you this. "And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father thither." Look what he does in verse 14. "And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. After that, his brethren talked with him." The passion of Joseph. That's the fifth thing that I see here, is the passion of Joseph. He just loved his brethren so much. You know that he totally forgave his brethren? He totally forgave his brothers. Now, later on, we don't have time tonight to get into it, but you'll see as you go through, towards the end, we read about it this morning, but his brethren, when Jacob died, his brothers were scared to death. They thought for sure that Joseph was going to retaliate. So they came up with a lie to say to Joseph, "Well, you know what? Before Dad died, he just wanted to make sure that you understood, Joseph, that you are to forgive us." But Joseph had already forgiven his brethren. You can see it here in this chapter. You can see it throughout the whole thing. He didn't just turn them away. He was trying to help them. He forgave them. Forgiveness was part of Joseph's faith and life. Forgiveness needs to be our way of life also. Verse 20. "Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. The children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for the way. You know what Joseph did? He loaded their wagons. Gave them everything they needed for the way back. Gave them enough food and things that would just, it would take care of Jacob and all of his children and all of his brothers' children. He just loads them up and gives them all that provision. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but of course to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. You know what he means by that? Guys, you're going to leave here. I don't want a falling out between you as you go home. I don't want one of you to blame somebody else. Joseph was literally instructing his brothers not to have a falling out as they go back to their father. So I want you guys to get along. I want everything to be fine. I don't want problems. Don't blame one another. Just I want you to get back home. Get Dad here as soon as possible. Of course, they went out of Egypt. They came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob, their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. Can you imagine how Jacob felt to hear that his son, that he hadn't seen in years, is really alive? Matter of fact, the news affected Jacob so much, the Bible says, and Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. He says, you guys are telling me a story here. Don't try to do that to me. They told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. When he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. And that's exactly what he did. It's interesting, when Jacob saw the evidence, then he realized that Joseph was alive and what his other sons were saying was the truth. And so you know the rest of the story. I don't have to tell you the rest of the story, but Jacob ends up, the entire family moves down into Egypt. They're taken care of. Joseph and Jacob have an amazing reunion. Shortly after that, of course, I think it's another 17 years. Jacob lives in Egypt, I think, 17 years. So he spends some time there with his son Joseph and sees what God has done through his son. But what a story. What a story of faith. You know what this does? This completely encourages me to have greater faith. So what do you get out of a story that big, that long? I get out of it that my faith needs to be stronger. That my faith can improve, be improved upon greatly. That when we are facing adversity in our life, when we're facing circumstances and situations that are beyond our control, what do? We have a choice to make. You can yell and scream and complain and throw your hands up and say, that's it, God, what are you doing to me, God? Or you can simply say, you know what, Lord, there's got to be some training in this somehow, some way. There's something, Lord, you're trying to show me, trying to tell me, trying to guide me. And Lord, just strengthen my faith as I'm going through this. That's the choice that we need to make. That's what God wants. He doesn't want us to quit. He doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to have faith in Him. The Bible says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always watching out for us. He's always taking care of us. He loves us. Do you understand that? He loves you and me. He loved Joseph. He loved his brethren. He loved Jacob. God loves us. God was taking care of them. When you look at what Joseph went through, Joseph might say, well, Lord, I appreciate you bringing me through that, but did you have to do it that way? Did you have to really put me in prison for 13 years of something I didn't do? Did you really have to do that? Well, God was working in his life and working in his heart and building his faith through that whole time. When we're going through adversity, that's the time that we do faith building. That's the time that we say, okay, God, help me here. Build my faith. Strengthen my faith. Give me more faith. Lord, I need you. That's what we do. Joseph is a great example of that in the Bible. Let's take this story and let's put it to practice. Let's apply it to our life. As children of God, we have so much to be thankful for. God is not going to allow us to go through something that we just can't handle. God will see us through it. He did it with Joseph. He'll do it with you and I. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this story. Thank you, Lord, again for the blessings you give to us. Thank you, Lord, that you do. You load our sacks every day. You load our wagons every day. You daily loadeth us with your benefits. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for the promises that we have.